and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. The focus of today's show will be the 9/11 wars and Trump's recent announcement that he'll be pulling U.S. troops out of Syria. I don't think one can really understand what's going on in Syria or the Middle East without some kind of a basic understanding of the lies of 9/11, the war in Iraq, etc. If you've been listening regularly to this show, or you've done your own research, you get that just about everything we've been told about 9/11 is, well, not true. And that goes also for everything we've been told about Iraq, Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, etc. So let's go through a list of some basic facts. Number one, the United States created Al-Qaeda in the 70s to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan. The Mujahideen were then moved to Yugoslavia. And here's what former Yugoslavia expert and frequent traveler to the region, Dr. Marcus Papadopoulos, has to say about this. Quote, Yugoslavia and the Serbs were the first victims of the American-led unipolar world that emerged in 1991. Because it was in Yugoslavia, namely Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia, and Kosovo, where the U.S. and its principal ally, Britain, together with Germany, destroyed the sanctity of internationally recognized borders, disregarded the authority of the United Nations Security Council, dealt irrevocable damage to the United Nations Charter by having undermined legitimate state authorities, and having supported, with arms, training, money, logistics, and intelligence information, armed secessionist movements, which comprised fascist, Islamist, and organized crime groups, facilitated the arrival of the Mujahideen and jihadist fighters to the region, employed their respective media outlets to demonize the people standing in the way of their objectives, the Serbs, accusing them of mass murder and genocide, thus justifying the West's policy in the Balkans, and then directly intervened with military force to guarantee the accomplishment of their objectives. In short, Yugoslavia was the template for Iraq, Libya, and Syria. So Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda were created by the U.S. CIA as a proxy army, and the events of 9/11 were blamed on them, with very little evidence, to justify the global war on terror. According to former FBI translator Sibel Edmonds, Osama bin Laden was still working for the CIA after 9/11. And 1 month after 9/11, the French daily Le Figaro reported that bin Laden had been treated at an American hospital in the Arab Emirate of Dubai in July of 2001. And while there, was visited by a local CIA agent. The article stated that bin Laden had had mobile kidney dialysis equipment shipped to his hideaway in Pakistan as far back as early 2000. Furthermore, it went on to say that during his stay at the hospital between July 4th and 14, bin Laden received visits from family members and prominent Saudis and Emiratis. During the hospital stay, the local CIA agent, known to many in Dubai, was seen taking the main elevator of the hospital to go to bin Laden's hospital room, stated the Le Figaro article. Adding, a few days later, the CIA man bragged to a few friends about having visited bin Laden. And here are a few facts about 9/11 concerning the alleged Al-Qaeda hijackers. First, there's no authenticated passenger list with any Middle Eastern names on them on all of the four flights that day. There's no DNA records of any of them at the crash sites, and 11 of them turned up alive after 9/11. And a spokesman for the FBI, a Mr. Rex Toom, admitted that the FBI had no hard evidence linking Osama bin Laden to 9/11, and therefore he was not wanted by the FBI for 9/11. You haven't heard that in the mainstream media, have you? So we created a proxy army of terrorists, first used in Afghanistan, then the former Yugoslavia, and then the same proxy army and strategies were moved to Iraq, Libya, and Syria. And of course, this was all justified by the lies of 9/11 that Al-Qaeda were the perpetrators. In the case of Syria, we were led to believe that it was a civil war, but it's not a civil war. It's these proxy terrorist armies, ISIS, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, at work in Syria. And here's what Professor Michelle Chossadovsky has to say about this in a 2017 article called U.S.-NATO Support Terrorism in Syria from Day One. And here goes. It was never a civil war. It was an undeclared war of aggression using al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorists as the foot soldiers of U.S., NATO, and their Middle Eastern allies. From day one, terrorists were involved in the killing of civilians. It started in Daraa as an insurgency integrated by Salafist mercenaries. From day one, the Islamist freedom fighters were supported, trained, and equipped by NATO and Turkey's high command. This initiative, which was also supported by Saudi Arabia and Qatar, involved a process of organized recruitment of thousands of jihadist freedom fighters, reminiscent of the enlistment of Mujahideen to wage the CIA's jihad holy war in the heyday of the Soviet-Afghan war. These mercenaries were subsequently integrated into U.S. and allied-sponsored terrorist organizations, including al-Nusra and ISIS. So what we have here in Syria is the U.S. and its allies covertly recruiting, funding, and training ISIS and the other terrorist groups, and publicly saying that they're fighting these same groups. It's quite a deception. So now we have President Trump attempting to fulfill a campaign promise to bring our troops home from Syria. White House spokesman Sarah Sanders announced on Wednesday that all U.S. forces in Syria, comprising some 2,000 special forces troops, would be withdrawn within 2 or 3 months, while another American official said that all State Department personnel would be pulled out of Syria within 48 hours. And here's President Trump stating his reason for leaving Syria, which, based on all of the information just provided, is kind of nonsense. But you decide.
And we have won against ISIS. We've beaten them, and we've beaten them badly. We've taken back the land, and now it's time for our troops to come back home.
So in reality, we did not beat ISIS because we, along with our allies, have covertly been recruiting, funding, and training ISIS, al-Nusra, etc. It was the Syrian army, the Russians, and the Iranians who beat ISIS. And I'm going to read you portions of an article from the online journal Strategic Culture Foundation. This is an editorial posted on December 21st, 2018, called U.S. Troops Out of Syria, Not Victory in Defeat. And here goes. U.S. President Donald Trump's order this week to withdraw American troops from Syria is long overdue. American forces have been in the Arab country for at least 4 years. They have been there illegally, present without any international mandate, not with the permission of the Syrian government, nor with the sanction of the UN Security Council. American troops in Syria are therefore an illegal occupying force, violating the sovereignty of Syria and international law. Washington claims its soldiers and air force are in the country to combat jihadist terror groups. That claim is laughable given the ample evidence that Washington has been covertly supporting the same jihadist groups it is supposed to be fighting. Thousands of Syrian civilians have been killed by American forces in what amounts to countless war crimes. President Trump declared, quote, an historic defeat of the terror groups was the reason for his order to withdraw U.S. troops. Trump, with his typical braggadocio, is claiming a, quote, victory. That is so utterly misplaced. His self-righteous words are a travesty and an insult to international norms of law and morality. The military forces that really brought an end to the terror groups were those of the Syrian army, Russia, and Syria's other allies, Iran and Hezbollah. Trump's self-congratulations are grotesquely way off the mark. The terror proxies that wreaked havoc and horror in Syria for nearly 8 years were enabled, armed, and directed by the U.S. and its NATO and regional client regimes. Still, it is to be cautiously welcomed that Trump has called it a day for American forces in Syria. With American withdrawal, there is now more chance of a political settlement being found for the war-torn country. but Washington deserves no thanks for its belated troop withdrawal. In a sane world, Washington should one day face justice for its barbaric crimes in Syria. It's not clear if Trump is just acting on his own whim or if there is a significant strategic decision in Washington to retreat from its regime change machinations in Syria. One thing seems clear, though. Washington's would-be withdrawal from Syria has nothing to do with its supposed defeat of terror groups. How could that be when Washington has for 8 years worked assiduously and covertly to foment these same terror entities for regime change? Washington's putative withdrawal from Syria, if anything, is due to its realization of defeat for its regime change operation. The Syrian army, Russia, Iran, and Hezbollah deserve the laurels for heroically defeating the terrorist jihadist proxies whom Washington deployed to Syria for regime change. Salute, too, to the brave Syrian people for their amazing steadfastness in the face of horrific assault. It is laughably ironic that U.S. politicians, Britain and France, are criticizing Trump this week, saying that, quote, the terrorists are not yet defeated. When it was these powers, plus Saudi Arabia, other Gulf states, Israel, and Turkey, which created, armed, and supported the terror groups for the purpose of destroying Syria. All in all, U.S. planned withdrawal from Syria is viewed as a good thing. It's about time that Washington removed its illegal presence in an Arab country and thereby permitting the country to restore the peace that it was so criminally denied for the past 8 years. Yes, Trump's decision this week is to be welcomed, but it's long overdue. Criminally long overdue. And again, that was an article from the online journal Strategic Culture Foundation. I think it's worth repeating and stressing that the U.S. military is in Syria illegally. The Syrian government has not invited them there, doesn't want them there. It goes against the U.N. Security Council and violates international law, but yet there we are. And the Russians and the Iranians are there legally. They've been invited by Syria, and so they are there legally. And now I'm going to read you parts of an article that document how many military bases we have as of July of 2017 in Syria. And it's called AA's Map of U.S. Bases in Syria Infuriates the Pentagon. The United States expressed anger on Wednesday, July 19, 2017, after a Turkish news agency published a map detailing U.S.-run military outposts in northern Syria. The Anadolu agency published an infographic on Tuesday showing 10 locations in which U.S. troops were stationed. 2 air bases, 8 military points in the Kurdish-controlled areas. U.S. Special Forces located in military points in Hasaka, Raqqa, and Manbij. The 8 military sites, according to the agency, host military personnel involved in coordinating the aerial and artillery bombardments of U.S. forces, training Kurdish military personnel, planning special operations, and participating in intensive combat operations. So Trump is getting a lot of pushback and criticism for wanting to pull U.S. troops out of Syria. And it seems that both parties in Congress are currently against this. When Obama was president in either 2013 or 14, he asked Congress for approval to send troops to Syria, and they wouldn't give him that approval, but he did it anyway. But now that Trump is trying to pull the troops out that Congress didn't want to go there in the first place because the American people let them know loud and clear that they wouldn't support it, now they're criticizing Trump for wanting to pull them out. Even the so-called liberal media is against Trump on this. The media and politicians are also saying that pulling the troops out of Syria would be a gift to Putin. And I haven't heard one of them mention that it would be a gift to the war-fatigued Syrian people, or a gift to the U.S. soldiers stationed there, or a gift to the American people who are footing the bill. So here's a clip by Jimmy Dore exploring this phenomenon. You'll hear the voices of 2 guests on his show. One is Jim Placone, and the other is called the Miserable Liberal.
Here's how people are responding to Trump pulling out of Syria.
Here he's showing a photo of a female journalist.
Who is she? She's a conservative blogger at the Washington Post. She's an MSNBC contributor, so she's super smart. Oh, she's also a friend of Israel. One explanation for idiotic move on Syria, another Putin payoff. Is there's no one in the establishment media that is pro-peace. Nobody. There's another. Today, President Trump handed two substantial victories to Russia, withdrawing U.S. troops from Syria and lifting sanctions on two Russian firms run by friends of Putin. Russia has. Isn't it funny how they always, no, whoever is a bit doing business and is Russian, they're a friend of Putin's. That's like saying, doing, oh, you know, Bill Gates, friend of Trump's. Warren Buffett, friend of Obama. Russian firms run by friends of Putin. Russia has clearly gained. Question for the White House. What does the U.S. gain? How about we're getting out of a war that we shouldn't be in the first place? What are we doing in Syria? What are we doing in Syria? No one talks about what we're doing there, why we're there. I went over to CNN. They're doing all kinds of videos. It's all bad, all negative. This is a bad thing. You can't have. I told you that the establishment news will always be for war. And that's why they had to smear us here. They had to try to discredit us because we tell the truth about war. They'll never tell you the truth about war. CNN, Wolf Blitzer, Jim Acosta, Jake Tapper. There it is. Senator King, ISIS will use Syria withdrawal as recruitment. So I guess we got to stay in Syria because if we ever leave, then ISIS will use it as recruitment. So we have to stay forever. There's another video. This is all in the same day. GOP lawmaker slams Trump's Syria withdrawal decision. Here's another one. Aaron Burnett, Trump giving Putin exactly what he wants. You want to watch? Let's watch. Let's watch Aaron Burnett. She's out front. This is amazing that people ever wag their finger at this show or other shows and say they're not professional enough. This is exactly what we're talking about. Watch this.
Out front tonight, President Trump kowtowing to Vladimir Putin, giving Putin exactly what he wants.
That is stunning. She's talking about the president of the United States being a traitor to our country. She's red baiting him right at the lead to her news show. She's red baiting the president. He's giving the everything. Can you? I mean, that's not reporting. That's propaganda right there. There it is. That's fake news. And now you know why it lands when Trump says it. That's, come on. That's a little stunning, right?
Well, it's been pretty depressing the entire cycle because when you're, you know, because I've been wanting to keep up with everything. And instead of being able to find, okay, so how's the withdrawal going to work? What's the process? What does this all mean?
Right.
How do we go through this? It's all just like catnip for Trump opposition or the opposite, just singing his praises. And it's like, I don't really, when we're getting out of wars, I don't really give a who's in the White House. I'm just happy we're getting out of the wars. And I want to know how it's going to work. Like the mechanics of it.
So let's hear some more. This is painful to listen to.
In two major ways. First, lifting sanctions off two big Russian firms. And second, announcing that he's going to pull American troops out of Syria. Something Putin wants more than almost any other thing. It could not get better for Putin today. And Trump, in a new White House video tonight.
Is a news person. That's a news person calling the president of the United States a traitor. That's what she's doing. This is what Putin wants more than, like, she's, and overacting too, by the way. That's not doing the news. That's overacting.
Sticking by his Syria announcement, and he did it on a video. He didn't come out and speak to the nation. He didn't answer questions on the decision. He's not answering questions.
She doesn't go, what does this mean? Why are we in Syria? How much money have we spent there? How many people have died? How many soldiers are even there?
How many troops are going to get to come home?
How many are going to come? Nothing. She doesn't do anything, explain to you anything about where Syria. I bet she couldn't even find Syria on a map. So now I want you to listen to her introduce this clip of Trump. And you try to tell me if this isn't the exact thing that Sean Hannity sounded like, Sean Hannity introducing a clip of Barack Obama with his shoes up on the desk or wearing a tan suit. You tell me, listen to her. So if you're a Trump voter or a Republican or an independent, and you tune into this newscast and you see what she's just being ridiculous. This is gratuitous. This is the kind of stuff that I remember it sounded like when Sean Hannity would talk about Barack Obama. Well, listen to what she says.
Yeah, something Putin wants more than almost any other thing. It could not get better for Putin today. And Trump, in a new White House video tonight, sticking by his Syria announcement. And he did it on a video. He didn't come out and speak to the nation. He didn't answer questions on the decision. He's not answering questions from Congress. No, he hid away and put out a little video.
He hid away, put out a little video. What is that about? Was it 3 feet tall? How big was the video? What's a big video? 5 footer? And put out a little bit. That's gross that she did it like that, right?
Yes.
And he put out a little video talking about how he's not going to do more war.
You know, I think it's a great example of objective journalism, right? She's so objective through
it's
this whole
story. It's unbelievable
that
she did that. Okay, here, and then she throws it to Trump. Here we go.
Here's a clip.
And we have won against ISIS. We've beaten them, and we've beaten them badly. We've taken back the land, and now it's time for our troops to come back home.
Okay, well, he can say it as much as he wants to say it, but...
He can say it as much as he wants. He's the president. He's the commander-in-chief. If he says they're coming home, they're coming home.
Okay, well, he can say it as much as he wants to say it. But again, he said that without taking questions from anyone or talking to anybody because he didn't want to answer the questions. And his own party...
What do you mean he can say that as much as he wants? And then he can do it. So usually there's a but that comes after that when you say, well, you could say that as much as you want, but there was no but. She said, he can say that as much as he wants, and he's not answering questions. And yeah, and that, but there's no but. There was no but in that game.
What questions does she want to ask him?
You tell me.
I mean, that's what I'm curious to know. Like, what questions do you want to ask? Do you want to ask him about the process? Do you want to ask him about what's going on? Do you want to ask him about...
Well, let's talk about that process. There has been no process in what we're doing throughout the world.
Steph, there's no process.
They don't go through Congress. It's just because after 9/11, they can do whatever they want to do.
Well, in fact, they did go through Congress. Barack Obama, when he said that...
I stand corrected.
We're gonna ask Congress if we should bomb Syria. Do you remember that? We're going to put it to a vote, which was a mistake because they put it to a vote, and Congress voted against intervening in Syria. And guess what? We're there anyway. We got about 2,000, some people say 2,000, some people say 4,000, 5,000. We got thousands of soldiers in Syria, and we've been bombing the hell out of it. So we voted against it. The people don't want this. Barack Obama did it anyway. So we're not even supposed to be there. We're there anyway. No one even talks about that, that Barack Obama did put it to a vote. And then he went against the will of the people and put troops in there anyway. No one ever says that.
And now you're going to hear several congresspeople expressing their opinions on this.
Now, we're dramatically less safe. This is an Obama-like move.
It's a terrible mistake, and unfortunately, I think we're going to pay a price for it if it's not reversed.
I doubt there's anybody in the Republican caucus in the Senate that just isn't stunned by this precipitous decision that just, like, you woke up in the morning and made it.
This is exactly why the people who voted for him voted for him. They wanted him to do this. They want him to befuddle all the establishment Republicans like Lindsey Graham and Corker and Marco Rubio, little Marco Rubio. They want him to make them go, I can't believe he's doing this. What? Ending a war. You see what people get outraged against in Washington, D.C.? You see what the news... She's outraged. How dare Trump end a war that the American people voted for us not to go into? How dare Trump do that? Like, she doesn't even mention that the American people don't want this. None of those people do. She doesn't even remind you of how we got into Syria. Barack Obama going against the will of the people.
That shock and anger again from his own party, coming in response to Trump's Twitter announcement that he's going to withdraw those U.S. troops fighting ISIS in Syria. So the original tweet this morning, quote, and to announce we have defeated ISIS in Syria, my only reason for being there during the Trump presidency. Let's just be clear. He announced that he's pulling U.S. troops out via tweet. Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger, who fought in the war on terror in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Boy, that really upsets people that he tweeted it out. He should have put it in a press release that someone else could tweet out. That's what would happen. He would give you a press release. You know what you guys would do? You'd immediately tweet it out. Breaking, President Trump gave us a press release. We're going to tweet it out. He did it in a tweet. Like, this is all gross, gratuitous, stupid stuff.
And I think it's pretty reflexive of basically all the corporate media's coverage. Like, none of it was issue-based at all. And that's just how they cover war.
None of this is.
It's like, yeah.
She hasn't spoken about one issue so far.
Mm-hmm.
Responded to the president's tweet, quote, this is simply not true. In fact, a Middle Eastern leader in the midst of this fight recently told me this summer that Islamic terror groups, including Al-Qaeda, are regrouping and rebuilding. Something the president...
Oh, some guy told me. You know, some guy told me last summer that ISIS is rebuilt. You know why? Because we funded them. You ever report that, Aaron, that we funded ISIS? You ever report that? No, she never reported that. We created them. How about you ever report that we created Al-Qaeda? You ever report that we're supporting al-Nusra? You ever ask people, you ever ask anyone, why are we in Syria? And you know what? It was one of the proudest moments in my life when they decided to smear us at this show. for telling the truth about war. Because this is who they are. This is the same woman who during Occupy Wall Street says, what do they even want anyway? I don't know. Why don't you walk the 35 feet from your office and ask them what they want? This is why we have a show. Here she brings on a congressman. Watch this.
Question, Congressman, of course, is this issue about Russia. I mean, this is what Vladimir Putin wanted. He has made, that is not a secret. I mean, clearly, this is a win for Vladimir Putin tonight.
Well, one of the things you have to recognize, of course, is that the whole reason why Russia is there is the failure of the Obama administration to appropriately handle the weapons of mass destruction, the use of chemical weapons that gave the opportunity for Russia to step in. And we did not have troops that were there for the purposes of counting Russia. They were there for the purposes of defeating ISIS. However, there's no question that the benefit of troops on the ground was certainly a counterbalance to Assad, the Assad regime, which we were opposed to, Russia's...
Well, which is it? Is it ISIS or Assad? So the troops on the ground were a counterbalance to Assad. I thought they were fighting ISIS, which is also who Assad is fighting. So what is it? So we're fighting Assad and ISIS who are fighting each other, and we're fighting both of them? Well, if we're fighting Assad, wouldn't that help ISIS? And if we're fighting ISIS, wouldn't that help Assad?
Influence and, of course, Iran's influence. All of those go right to the issue, of course, that these troops were in Syria without congressional approval.
So now he accidentally, again, he makes a boo-boo, and you see how it causes her pain, right? Oh, don't tell people that. We're not supposed to tell people a fact.
Troops were in Syria without congressional approval. They're still operating under the mandate of Al-Qaeda, right, and defeating Al-Qaeda, and then, of course,
I understand the points you're making.
I understand the point. Stop it. You're bringing some facts in here that kind of undermine what I'm saying. Did you see her do that? I'm not making that up. She just did it. I get it. They're not supposed to be there. All right. We don't want the people to know that. Dummy, what are you saying that for?
They're still operating under the mandate of Al-Qaeda, right, and defeating Al-Qaeda. And then, of course,
I understand the points you're making. And look, a lot of this is fair. But I mean, I'm getting at the bottom line.
A lot of this is fair, but I don't want to talk about it.
Well, they're just they're mixing up the tribes they subscribe to in this particular case.
Yes.
You know, that guy is just like, wait a second, there's something else I can say bad about Obama, and I just get to say something bad about Obama no matter what without any critical thought. And then she's like, wait a second, we're both on the side of endless war, though. You're mixing it up here.
Yes.
Don't bring that up now, because that defeats our endless war narrative. And he's like, oopsies.
That's exactly what
transpired between.
Please don't bring up that they're not supposed to be there and they don't have congressional authorization. That screws up my pro-war mongering right now. I'm not even going to show you any more of this. It's, honest to God, I can't. I can't. It's crushing me. In fact, it's been the progressive point of view my whole life that we stop the wars in the Middle East, especially. That's been the point of view of progressives. That's been the progressive point of view my whole life. So MSNBC apparently can't find a progressive, because every report I'm seeing on Twitter says they haven't had an anti-war voice on their cable show all day. And now you know why people get their news from YouTube.
And again, that was a recent Jimmy Dore show. And you can access his shows by going to YouTube and just putting in Jimmy Dore. And that's D-O-R-E. And the clip you just heard from the Jimmy Dore show was lightly edited to cut out some of the more colorful language frowned upon by the FCC. While I'm really hoping that Trump does bring our troops out of Syria, I have a fear that if our troops come out, that mercenaries will go in. But that remains to be seen, so let's just hope for peace in Syria. And next week we'll be exploring why we're actually in Syria. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.
To the people.